Stop.
That's my dog mom voice.
It's a good voice.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where this week we are talking to Rebecca Frickin' Ross.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Karen.
And this week we are both from the Ink-Ridden Tribune.
The time is finally here where we can tell you guys that we're
I
talking to
know.
Rebecca Ross.
I can't believe this.
I'm still shocked. This is so exciting.
I know. Keen-eyed show dog. Keen-eyed Patreon subscribers will notice that I am not in my home. I'm having my flooring redone, and so I am at my parents' house. And my dogs are going crazy.
Well, that is what they do.
Yes.
So, followers of the internet will know that SAG-AFTRA has reached an agreement with the AMPTP. Thank God. And it sounds like things are moving in the correct direction. So, we're very excited and very happy
Finally.
for them. And finally, we can start talking about
I got to scream about
that.
Loki on the internet.
I still haven't watched it, actually.
I'm embarrassed about that.
I've been traveling a lot in like the past month. It's been
Yeah.
insane, and I'm doing it again tomorrow.
Yep. It's time for you to find the time because it's really good. It saved this
I
leg of
will
shows.
have some free time this upcoming week, so it'll probably happen this week.
What's the last one? Oh my God. Why is my brain blanking? Nick
Last one of what?
Fury,
Oh,
Secret
Secret Invasion.
Invasion.
I was like, last
Boring.
one,
Hated.
what?
Hated it. It was so boring. Loki.
Yeah.
I stared at the screen saying, I love him so much about Kihi Kwan,
I
even
love
more than
Kihi
Tom
Kwan
Hiddleston. Every
so
time he was on the screen,
much.
I was just like,
Yeah.
love him so much.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm
Yeah.
like finally have like a week of like downtime. So I'm very
Yeah.
excited to be able to do that.
Maybe we'll give you guys our thoughts next season
Yeah.
since
For
this is a
sure. Yeah.
minisode. We just
Right.
went on a little incoherent tangent.
It happens. That's who we are as people.
I
And that sound means we have an intruder
This
alert.
is the craziest intruder alert.
Guys, we have been freaking out about this since we booked this interview. It is Rebecca Ross. Hello, welcome. We're so excited to talk to you.
Hi, yeah, thank you so much for having me.
First thing I want to say is thank you so much for Roman C. Kitt. Just
Yes.
thank
Yes.
you.
You're very welcome.
He is everything. I love him so much.
I know, Karen. I read it and I like freaked out at Karen. I'm like, you have to read it. You have to meet Roman. You have to
I was
know.
like, I knew that there was this big cliffhanger, and I was like, no, I need to wait till closer to
Yeah, she
December.
told me no.
I can't handle it. My anxiety is already too high.
No, I completely understand that.
My best
So,
friend here recommended it to me, and she was like, "You're gonna hate me when you get to the end, though." And so I was texting her frantically, like, "How could you do this to me? Why? Why would you do this?"
I've had a lot of readers be like, I'm sending you my therapy bill. So I'm like, just, type it
Yes.
up, fold it, and slide it under your wardrobe door. It will find me.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
Exactly.
So
Yeah.
for anybody who doesn't know, for any of our listeners who don't know, can you give us like a quick elevator pitch of I guess just Divine Rivals, since Ruthless Vows kind of, I feel like it's
Spoiler
harder to
territory.
pitch a sequel without spoilers.
So Divine Rivals is about two rival journalists named Iris and Roman, who are both competing for the same position at the newspaper, and they are in this world that is very reminiscent to World War I. So it feels almost like an alternate Britain, only the war is being waged by two gods who have woken from the grave. And when Iris decides that she is going to go report on the war front, Roman decides to follow her. And the two of them really strike up this magical correspondence and fall in love through letters.
Oh,
So
it's so
I'm not
beautiful.
convinced that you're not some kind of magician because you write in a way that is like so soothing and ethereal, but you also weave in so much anxiety that, especially in Ruthless Vows, I was unwell through mo and I was telling Karen about it on Zoom and I was like shaky.
Oh.
So it's like we're in a state of peaceful agony throughout. Just like, is everything going to be okay? Does it literally flow from your fingertips like that? Like, what is your writing process like to get such beautiful end results?
Yeah, I mean, I am a discovery writer, first of all. I'm also a very character-driven writer. So the very first thing I envisioned for Divine Rivals, I was actually writing ideas down in a brainstorming journal trying to find the next story. And I wrote this line, and it was a girl who writes letters to her missing brother and the boy who reads them. So just in that line alone, there's like a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I had to ask questions like, well, why is your brother missing? Like, how are the letters being, you know, magically misdelivered to the boy she doesn't want reading her letters? And like, what, you know, what is going on? And so I always really enjoy the first draft of a book. And I think Divine Rivals, it just was a very magical experience to write that book. I wrote it completely for myself. It was not under contract at all. So I didn't even know if it would ever be published when I was writing it. And I think in a way, it gave me a lot of freedom when I was writing it, like just literally write what I want to read. And so
right.
I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will say, because of me being a discovery writer, I do have to go back with revisions and really revise and revise and revise to make sure like everything is working together. But I will say, like, right off the bat, I'm an Enneagram 4. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Enneagram test, but it is a personality test. And the 4 there's like 9 different personalities. So the 4 is someone who's like very in touch with their emotions. And I think a lot of writers end up being 4s. So I have this very, I guess, emotional way of looking at characters and writing, where I really want, even in a fantasy setting, I want those emotions to really bleed through the page.
They absolutely
yeah, they
do.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
When you were doing this writing, like you said, you kind of wrote it as you wanted, because you weren't under contract. Did you know that it was going to be 2 books? Did you get to the end of what is Divine Rivals and say, there's more to this? Or was it one long continuous manuscript that you had to split up?
So interestingly enough, I thought it was going to be standalone. So when I first started, like, oh, I'm going to write me a standalone, you know, and it wasn't until I was about halfway through, I was kind of searching for the ending. I wasn't exactly sure how it was going to end. And I realized I had a lot going on with like the war, and just, I was like, man, how am I going to wrap this up in like 100,000 words? Because that's usually where they want YA fantasy books, like write at 100,000 words. They don't want you writing 150,000 word manuscripts, you know? Right. And so when I was about halfway through, I was like, I all of a sudden saw how it needed to end. Like, I saw the last line and it gave me chills. Like, oh, okay. So this is what I'm working towards now. And I'm definitely going to need a second book. And it never really crossed my mind to do like a trilogy or anything. I thought, I really like this, like how a duology, it almost feels like the 2 books are mirrors and they're very symmetrical. And I was like, you know, if I can tell a very good, emotionally satisfying story in 2 books, I'm not going to drag it out just for the sake of having 3. So I think I knew I wanted it to be 2 books. And so if you do, I mean, not to spoil anything about Ruthless Vows, but, you know, in book 1, Roman knows who Iris is the whole time. You know, he's writing to her anonymously, but he knows, but she doesn't know. So you can imagine how I might play on that in Ruthless Vows, because I want the 2 to almost be like mirrors of each other.
Yeah. I didn't think of it like that, but yeah, that is a beautiful way of putting it.
Wait, that just hit me. Stop. Like, my brain just glitched.
That's insane.
I don't want to give away spoilers, but wow.
Yeah.
I feel really dumb.
Oh. Well, I think that's a good story though, when you can go back and see things that you didn't see like on the first read.
Yeah.
There's still more to discover with every time you read.
Absolutely.
For sure. We do get a new character that I am obsessed with. I'm so head over heels for Tobias Bexley. I can't even begin to explain it. Where did he come from? I love him so much. Can he come back? Like, what?
I love him too. And I think when I was trying, again, not to spoil anything, but Iris and Addie do end up returning to the front in the sequel, but it's in a different way. So I was trying to think, like, how would they return to the front? How can I make it feel unique and also feel very personal? Like, can I bring in a new character? And so then he just kind of like walked onto the page, and like, I knew, like, he races motor cars, like, you know, he's very handsome and suave. Like, and I was like, man, I love this guy. Like, you know, I'm curious to see like how, you know, let me kind of discover his role in the story, which I think he plays a very important role to both of the girls.
Yeah.
He's a sweet baby angel. I was so, I don't want to say spoilers. I was very afraid for a lot of reasons with Tobias, and I was so glad that I was wrong.
And the moment he shows up, you're just like, oh, you were meant to be here all along. Yeah. Like, he just you fits belong. Right into the story.
Yeah. Okay, so another thing that fits right into the story, and I you see this in the Divine Rivals duology and in A River Enchanted, is music. Are you, like, do you play any instruments? Are you a musical person, or are you just someone who really appreciates music? Because it's so interwoven into the stories.
Yeah, no, it is interesting to me. I'm like, okay, next story, Rebecca, don't write about harps anymore, because it has been, like, you know, this keeps coming up. But no, music is very, I think, just very inspiring to me. I did play the cello in high school, and it's one thing that I wish I had kept up. I did not keep playing. And I'm like, man, that's like one of my biggest regrets, that I didn't keep playing it, because I love the cello and I love playing it. But I do think I listen to a lot of music when I'm brainstorming, when I'm writing. A lot of times I like to listen to soundtracks, because I think it's a really good way to see how music can chart the emotions of a story. So that's like what a soundtrack does for a movie. And so, yeah, I would say, you know, music, and even thinking back, music was even a part of, like, the Queen's Rising world. It was also a big part of Sisters of Sword and Song. So it definitely is, like, a recurrent thing for me. And I think it is just literally, like, where I draw inspiration from is from music.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about the boys, and it leads perfectly into one of our questions that we ask all of our authors. We have a segment on our podcast that we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week. And this is the moment where everything you have ever consumed will leave your brain.
Yeah.
But
where's the book? Have I exactly. ever seen a movie?
But is there a fictional character? And it doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Like, I've previously had a fictional granny that I loved so much. Just, like, is there a fictional character that you just feel like everybody needs to meet them? Like, you would ride or die for them.
Okay, let me think for a minute.
It doesn't have to be someone you've written. It could be, right. like, someone you've just read or seen on a movie.
I know there is one. So
this always happens. It just, everything yeah. leaves.
I'm like the only person on earth who has them locked and loaded and ready all the time. Like, everybody else is like, what?
I feel, and most of my books are in my living room. I have, like, big built-ins rolls. I would, like, look at my books real quick. No, I would say, okay, so there's a series called The Lumetaire Chronicles by Melina Marchetta. And I basically talk about these books all the time, because I think they have just been, like, Melina as an author, she's one of those rare authors who can literally write any genre, and she does it so well. She's from Australia. She's, like, this highly acclaimed author. So The Lumetaire Chronicles are her fantasy trilogy. And I would say there are multiple characters throughout her storytelling in that series that I was just, like, crying over, that I was, like, obsessed with. It really blew me away, just, like, the depth that I felt for them. Even her secondary characters, I was so invested in, like, the secondary love stories. I was like, man, like, I am, like, so invested, and they hardly have any page time. Like, how is she doing that? So I would say, just, like, the main character, his name is Finnegan. So I would say Finnegan is on there. This is going to sound so weird, but his dad, Trevanion, who's also in the story, he has a very, very moving love story. And then there's also Lucien. So, like, there's these, again, she has all this huge cast of characters. I highly recommend people read them. It's one of those things that, like, I don't often get to reread books because I'm so busy reading new things. But, like, if I do reread something, it is Finnegan of the Rock, just for the characters, because I still get that feeling that I got the first time I read them and had the Aww. Worst book hangover I have never in my life experienced. Like, another book has never hit that level of, like, book hangover. I was, like, sad for a very long time.
Yeah, these are immediately going on the TBR.
I will say, when you first start Finnegan, it's a little, like, overwhelming. And I remember I was like, man, like, everyone was raving about this book and I'm not seeing it. And then there's this point where it's all of a sudden it clicks, and then you can't stop, you can't put it down, and you're, like, wholly invested. So just know that going in, it's somewhat of, like, there's a lot going on and you're kind of thrown into it, and you're like, oh, what, you know, what's going on? But they're excellent. They're a chef's kiss, I think, with the romance.
I'm not going to shame you at all about, like, the character and his dad, because I watched Riverdale. Okay. So I was Jughead and FP Jones, like, okay. Either one, hand it over. I don't care. Whichever is fine. Okay, so both of your duologies that I've read, so A River Enchanted and Divine Rivals, have lands that are, like, UK-ish, British, Scotland. To me, those are the vibes I get. Are you someone who just likes to travel there? Do you have like familial ties, anything like that? Like, or are you just drawn to those places? I've never been and I'm drawn to them. So,
yeah. So I sadly have never been myself. It has been, I was supposed to go in 2020. I wanted to go and do research for River Enchanted. And of course, COVID happened and it just like plans fell apart and I just haven't made it over there. But my husband's family, they're the Rosses. And so, you know, obviously his family comes from Scotland. They immigrated over to Canada and then down to the United States. But so yeah, I do have like some family ties to that area, but I just think it's just very fascinating to me. I think I'm always, especially Scotland. I mean, how can you not look at like a picture of Scotland and just think,
and just cry?
That's like heaven on earth. It's so beautiful. It's almost like you can't even take in how beautiful it is. And so, yeah, I think I've just always been very, very intrigued with the UK and has like so much history behind it. And it's just a very beautiful place. Like, I just love like the feeling of it, like these very, you know, the beautiful highlands and kind of the misty weather and the cups of tea. And I have fooled a few people who thought I was British because I guess I do write the, you know, stories inspired by the UK. Like, I had no idea you were American. And so I was like, I'm very glad that I fooled you. I was hoping, like, you know,
yeah. The best compliment someone could give is, I didn't know you were American. I thought you were English. Yeah. What? I would die.
That's the best compliment. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And you're not kidding. Like, I can just look at pictures of Scotland and just want to weep. And like a friend of mine just got to go to England and he was talking about like how old their buildings are. And like, he didn't really think about it. I'm like, bro, we're babies over here. We don't have history. Like, not really, not compared to them. Like, you could stay in a 3000 year old, not 3000, but you know, thousands of hundreds of year old castle. And it's just like, oh yeah, that's a Target now. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And I think
I knew you were American because I am a Little Shop of Stories frequenter in Decatur. Okay. Yeah. And so I see you on there all the time. I'm like, I know you're from America, but yeah, you could have fooled me with Divine Rivals had I not known for sure. And A River Enchanted too, but
yeah, you definitely you just capture, pick up the vibe. Like, vibes really well, especially for somebody who's never been there. I think it's, I feel it.
Yeah.
So that makes me happy. Crazy. I did watch a lot of like YouTube videos of like Scotland. You can watch people like walking through, like, here, I'm in Scotland and I'm walking around, you know, because if I couldn't physically go because of COVID, at least I could still like kind of get the feeling like if I was like walking, you know.
I used to do that with my treadmill.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. When I would be working, like I have a standing treadmill under my desk for work, and I would put on like a YouTube video and it would be like, here's the Jack the Ripper tour. Here's, you know, the Scottish Highlands, and you just walk around behind somebody and it's like, if you close your eyes just for a second, you're not here, you're there.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, so we see a lot of the political side of war in Ruthless Vows without giving away too many spoilers. I don't want to spoil a lot, but we see into war rooms and you have the intrigue and betrayal, and you see blind loyalty that happens during a war. But we also see this sense of community that sparks because of it, which can be both heartbreaking and inspiring. And for me, it made me reflect. And there are some specific scenes in the end that once people read it, I think they'll know what I'm talking about, where it makes you reflect on, are my neighbors the people that I think they are? Am I the person that I think I am? And it makes you reflect on, what would you do if you were in this situation and you knew you had X time or X resources or X abilities and you had to like make a snap decision? How would you decide? Would you, you know, try to help people? Would you every man for himself? Like, was that your goal, is to make people reflect on like who they are and who their people are? Because you did it to me.
Yeah, I think so. Because I honestly think about this type of stuff a lot. Like, if society started breaking down and it did become this very cutthroat situation, like, my husband loves The Walking Dead. He is like, he's watched that show multiple times. And so I finally like same, watched it too. With him. Like, the first 5 seasons, I think we have not fully watched it all. But like the first couple seasons, you see kind of like Rick's struggle to kind of come to grips with what the world is like now. And like, because I think like I would be such a compassionate person. Like, I would not want to just leave someone behind or like immediately, right? Not trust somebody or who's like hungry and needs resources and is out on their own. And But yet this person could totally backstab you and take everything, and then it's like over. So yeah, I think it is very, very fascinating. I also love watching Survivor just to see like how people act kind of when they're under pressure, like the alliances that form, the blind sides that happen. Like, do you stick with your initial alliance, or do you end up betraying them at some point? You know, in Survivor, you do play for yourself at the very end if you make it.
Yeah.
But you still have the jury to think about. You know, the jury is going to be weighing how you played and like, did you do them wrong? You know? So yeah, I think I definitely wanted to delve into that a little bit. And I know, so with Ruthless Vow, the first draft was like 152,000 words. And my editor was like, oh, this needs to be like 100,000 words. I was like, well, there's no way I can cut 50,000 words. I'd have to completely rethink the story and rewrite it. And so I think I got it down to like 120, which is still really long for a young adult book. And the problem is these days that ever since COVID, a lot of printers closed down, and then there's a paper shortage, so paper is expensive. And so it is a part of the publisher trying to keep the cost of the book low, especially with YA. You don't want to have a $27 book, you know, because you want it to be as affordable as possible, especially for teens who are buying it. So, you know, that also is like, okay, how can I touch on all these topics in the way that I want to, not rush through them, but also make sure the book is in like a good word count for what it needs to be. So it's a little tricky, I think, when you have to think about word count. If I didn't have to think about it, I mean, the book would still probably be 150,000 words. But
Curse
yeah.
you, COVID. I want those 30,000 words back.
Yeah, I was gonna say, was there like a plot line that you had to remove that helped you get it done? Because that's a lot of words to lose in a draft.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm trying to think back. I just had to get very ruthless, no pun intended, about like what scenes are not necessary or what can I combine. And so I think I cut a lot from part one because I was trying to keep things moving quickly. But yeah, you know, now that I think I completely like have blocked that out of my memory because that was such a hard deadline. But I need to go back and look at the first draft and kind of like remember, which is that's kind of like the funny thing. Whenever I sometimes with books like River Enchanted had like the ending, I wrote it in like four different ways. And so I can always think back to all the different ways it could have gone down, and like readers will never know and have to
Oh
remind
my
myself, oh wait,
God.
what made it to the final draft? Because I've seen it so many different drafts.
That's true.
But yeah, I know there was a lot. There was a lot that had to get cut. And that's always the hardest thing for me because I do tend to overwrite. So I know I have to cut. I mean, this happens to me every time. My editor's always like, we need to cut 100 pages from your draft. You know, it's too long. And they're right. Like the pace needs to stay tight and fast, especially again for YA. But yeah, it's always hard.
I'm So I gotta feel like cutting off a limb, especially when you're like, this is the story though. But this is this, but you do want it to be affordable for teens who are buying it or asking, begging their parents for it or whatever. But yeah,
I listened
that's a lot
to
of
a couple
words.
authors talking recently about like drafting and the editing process and how sometimes in writing you have to, I think they said kill your darlings. Like there are scenes that you might love that you just can't have because they don't quite fit the pace that you're going for. That sounds like it hurts.
It definitely does. I think part of the thing for me at this point, I've worked with multiple different editors, and you do take most of your editor's advice, but there's always sometimes like if you feel like this needs to be in here, like it needs to be in here, but you do have to somewhat justify it. Like if your editor's like, well, you know, if this is going to be here, I think I remember like putting a prologue in your book, like it has to have a meaning. It has to, you can't just like, you know, sometimes some readers hate prologue. So you have to make the prologue, like you have to give it a purpose. It can't just like kind of have a prologue. So I had to like prove to my editor, no, I need a prologue and this is why, you know, but.
Can you tell us anything about, sorry,
There you go.
about like what's coming next? You know, Ruthless Vows is coming out. By the time this episode airs, Ruthless Vows will be out. What do you have coming up on the pipeline?
Yeah, so I have. So right now I'm working on my next young adult fantasy, and I can't really say too much, but I'm very excited about this idea. It's a whole new world, some new characters. I also have an idea for my next adult fantasy, which I've been really eager to write. So I do have more books coming. I hope to announce them at some point, but sometimes with publishing, it can take a long time before things are announced.
That's exciting.
I
Yeah,
know
that's
that's
really
not too, I know
exciting.
that's not like a lot, but I promise more. I'm sure after Ruthless Vows comes out, we'll be starting to pivot to the next thing.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, so we don't want to keep you too much longer. longer, but we have one more question that we always ask our guests. And that is, we know we love your books, but we want to know, like, what are you reading? What books are you like, everybody should read this, everybody should have this in their house? Or just like, what books do you just love?
So I already talked about Lumetera Chronicles. So that's already, always recommend those three books. I also really loved Lovely War by Julie Barry. And if you love Divine Rivals, you can definitely read that book and see how it influenced me. I like ugly cried. I do get teary eyed with some stories, but this book made me ugly cry. And I sat and read in like one sitting, and it has been a long time since a book did that to me. And of course this was years ago. And I remember I finished reading it and you're just kind of in that daze, like, oh my gosh, like, what do I do now? Like, is this book's over? And I went out, me and my husband went out on a date, and he's not a big reader, which is kind of funny because he's married
not
to me.
Either.
And so I was like telling him about this book. I was telling him about Lovely War and what I just read. And I started like crying at the table. And he's probably thinking, what is wrong with
crazy
you?
Crazy lady.
But it was like, oh my gosh, like the romance just like was just so good. So definitely Lovely War. I also love Daughter of the Forest by Juliette Marillier. I think she is a very underrated fantasy author, and she has written quite a few books, and they are all of them are excellent. And let me think. I know there's more. I just started reading To Gaze Upon Wicked Gods by Molly Chang, which is really
that has
really
to be by title alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cover, if you've seen the cover too, the cover is absolutely stunning. It's one of the prettiest covers I've ever seen. So I just dived into that one, and I'm very, very excited. I think it comes out this upcoming April. So it is her debut.
Oh, that's so exciting.
That is so, yeah. You're making my TBR just grow and grow.
This always happens. All right. So before we let you go, this is the part of the podcast interview where we'll pretend we're sorry, but we're really
I won't. I don't pretend anything.
We're sorry to inform you that now that you have been on the podcast, you're legally obligated to come back for every book release from now until forever.
All right. That's totally fine with me.
It has been so much fun talking to you. We have been so excited ever since we, you know, locked down this date. So thank you so much.
I've been pinching myself like this whole interview.
This is so sweet. Thank you.
It was so, and you know what? When we were at Y'all Fest, there were times where people would say something about Ruthless Vows, and I'd be like, guys, I have it on my Kindle. And they would freak out. People would freak out. So you have done something where the bookish community is losing their mind. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. I don't really know what I did to deserve it, but I feel very honored by it.
I didn't do it at this event, but like I knew that we didn't have the copies yet, but we knew we were talking to you. But I was at the Shelby Mahurin event with you in Decatur, and I was like, I was like, I'm gonna get to read that book. To read it, they're all talking about it, and I'm gonna get to read it soon. And I can't wait.
So funny.
Yeah. The way that people's like jaw drops, they're like, what do you mean you're reading Ruthless Vows? I want to read that. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you, but I'm really excited.
I was also really glad that I had just seen you because of Y'all Fest, because your line was actually, and I was like, thank God I don't have to stand in that. I've already gotten her to sign my book.
Yeah, both on Fierce Friday and the Saturday signing, I could not believe it. And I think they had to cap the line because they only give you about like an hour to sign, and there's like no way to be able to get through. And that's the only thing I felt bad about, because I had people standing in line for hours, and then we had to cut photos and could not do any post photos, and I could only sign like two books. And I just hated that. It's like, oh, I want to like talk to people. Yeah. Get a picture, you know?
One of the cool things though, is that I was in the Saturday line. I got there early, and we've just made friends with people in line. Like that was one of the cool, like,
that is cool.
Yeah, we were standing around in lines, but also like we're standing in line with like people who are just like us. So everybody's just made friends. So, I mean,
even if they were waiting in that long line, they were still enjoying it.
Yeah.
And they still got something out of it, even if they didn't get
too bad
photo.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, I just think that because like it was like my schedule, it was like going from here to here to here to here to here. Like I hardly had time to like get a sip of water. You know, it was just so it was so crazy. But and so at the end, I'm sure y'all felt the same, like you're exhausted, but then you feel strangely like re-energized. And I think it's because you're around book people and like it is something. It was very exciting to see so many people show up for a book event like that. Like just electrifying.
There
It's
is
very
nothing like a
intense.
book event.
Yes,
Yeah,
it was so
exactly.
exciting to see. And of course, get to meet readers. I mean, I had readers stopping me on the street, and I've never really had that before. Like, it's like, oh my goodness. So
That's
it
so
was very
exciting.
fun.
Yay. Well, thank you so much again for coming and chatting with us and for writing wonderful books.
Yeah.
Everybody, please, if you have not already purchased it, go buy Divine Rivals and Ruthless Vows. When this episode airs, they are both out, so
Both
you
out in the
don't
world.
have to live through that cliffhanger at the end of Divine Rivals. You can just dive right into book two.
It's wor
Yep.
it's a worthy cliffhanger though. Like I enjoyed sitting in that pain. So
Good. I had some people say, like, I threw the book across the room, but it's the sorry, not sorry, because I know y'all like it. Like, you want to
yes, it's the
have that
pain that you
feeling.
want. It's the
Yeah.
pain that you want. It's the best pain in the world.
I was listening to it on audiobook, and I think I just stopped. I like whatever I was holding just dropped. I was like,
Oh.
oh no, what's happening? And I was so grateful that I had Ruthless Vows to read right after, because I don't know if I would have survived.
Oh.
Oh.
Thank you so much. We've had so much
Well,
fun talking to
we'll
you.
talk to you
Thank
soon.
you guys for reading and for inviting me on the podcast. It's so nice to chat with y'all, and hope to see you also in person again soon at some point.
I
Yes, that
think
would be
there's one on the,
amazing.
I think it's like January 3rd. I'm gonna try to come too. I think it's Little Shop.
Is that the
Yeah.
Atlanta event? Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think so.
I think
Well,
I saw.
yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I know. I saw the tour dates and I was like, oh, not near me. Oh well. Next time. I just saw her. I'm spoiled enough. All righty. Have a
Well,
great
either
night.
way, we will talk to
Relaxing.
you soon, and yeah, have a good
Thank you. Y'all too.
night. Bye.
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 I love her.
Oh, she's
She's
so
so
sweet.
freaking pretty, and like I was not lo like
She's
I don't
so
know if the
beautiful.
listeners will hear that, but every time I told her in our little like pre-interview segment how beautiful her hair is. Every time I see her, I am like,
Always.
why is your hair so healthy and beautiful? And she is so beautiful. I just
Yeah, and she's
jealous. I was like
so
wanting to hide mine, like,
nice.
don't
I
look.
know. I was like playing. I'm
Don't
like,
look.
no. She's so sweet too. Like, and her, like, really, like you were saying, her writing is just so beautiful and
Atmospheric and
magical. It
ethereal.
it's
Like it makes me feel like I'm reading it on a like grassy hill in Scotland in a
Yes.
flowy dress with a river. Like you've got to read A River Enchanted and A
I
Fire
will.
Endless because it is like more, it's not like adult, but it's a little more adult themed and so good. Fangirl for life.
I definitely plan to binge her entire backlist when I have some time, because
Yeah.
Divine Rivals, Ruthless Vows,
If it tells you anything.
oof, yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you have not read these books, go get them.
Stop what you're doing. This episode is
Really.
pretty much over. I will allow you to skip the spiel. Start
Just go
Divine
get the
Rivals
books
right now.
right now.
Right now. Kindle, right now. Or Audible.
Or Libby.
Or
Borrow it
Libby.
from your
Yeah.
library. I'm sure maybe your library
They're
has
not going to
90
have it. Your
copies.
library's not going
Listen,
to
I don't
have
know, because I got Divine Rivals really quickly.
It's
Like,
not the day that Ruthless Vows, it's not the week that Ruthless Vows came out, Karen.
that's true. That is true.
We got a little wibbly wobbly timey
Timey
wimey
wimey stuff.
advantage. Yeah.
That is
The
true.
your library's not gonna have it, but you can put it on hold and
Or you
get it next
can
year.
go buy it. Just walk
Go
into a
buy it and
bookstore,
support your
local
go buy it
indie.
and support my local author. Okay.
Go support her local author or your local indie as well. We love indie
Yes.
bookstores.
Actually, I don't know if they're still going to be doing it or not, but you should check out Little Shop of Stories in Decatur because they were like at right when we're recording, which is before the book releases, they were like her one bookstore where she's doing like personalized autographed copies. You know how like
Ooh.
Diana Gabaldon has, I think hers is called The Poison Pen, where she funnels all of her signed books through them, like signed and personalized. I think Little Shop is the same way with Rebecca. I could be wrong, but I want to say that's what I read. So they may still have where you can get a signed and personalized copy. So check out Little Shop of Stories in Decatur, Georgia, or your local indie may could get you a copy.
Yep, do it
Support your
now.
local bookshops, guys,
Yes,
gals, and
please.
non-binary pals.
We love our local indies. They're awesome.
Yes, we do. Now it's time for spiel.
After talking to Rebecca freaking Ross, guys, I'm still not over that.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
All right, friends, if you liked this mini-sode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. You can also visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can stream all of our episodes, as well as read our blog, which has so many book recs, y'all. So many.
I'm really proud of my Ruthless Vowels blog, by the way. Like, I wrote it as an ink-ridden Tribune columnist. So everybody should go read that.
I haven't read it yet because I wanted to finish reading the book first. I know that you don't do spoilers, but like,
no, you don't want to upset the vibe, but you read it after, you will laugh so hard.
I will.
You'll
be like, absolutely. Absolutely. And then if you would like to subscribe to our Patreon, we would absolutely love that. You can get early access as well as video episodes for every episode from here until, you know, you stop subscribing, which you shouldn't do because we're fun.
Yeah.
Head over to theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon to subscribe and you can see our pretty faces. We're very cute, guys.
You can see my mom's decorating. It's not a lot. There's just some chairs and a painting, but
yeah,
it's my mom's.
We love your mom.
We do.
And then if you'd like to walk around and support the podcast, you can shop our merch store, theincoherentfangirl.com/shop, and get lots of cute goodies. I love all of our merch. It's so cute.
Me too. I wore some to Y'all Fest.
Yes, you did. It was so cool.
You did.
And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, or you would just like to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept of that in our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all.
Give us your words.
Please do. And speaking of words, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please write words.
We love reading your words.
It's so much
Email,
fun.
Review, all of it.
All the things. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can go do some self-care and visit our internet besties and do some shopping. Head on over to herecomesdinner.com, use code fangirl, and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then, once you've got all your artsy goodies, you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. I'm sure there's some pretty good after Christmas stuff going on right now. And we have two codes that you can use. They don't stack, but you just pick one. We don't care. We love you no matter what. So use either Karen10 or Mandy10 for 10% off. Just make sure you spell Karen right.
I'm not like don't a regular wrong. Karen. I'm a cool Karen. And once you have got your artsy goodies and your bookish goodies, you can get some cozy goodies by heading to entrancingelixirs.com. Use code FANGIRLT and you'll get 10% off your order. But remember, unlike Karen, there is no I in fangirl. It's FANGRLTEA.
Then, once you've got your tea, your bookish goodies, your artsy goodies, you want some more books to read. It's going to need to be the Fire and Starlight Saga. Amber D. Lewis, we love her. We can't wait to see what else is coming. So head to amberdlewis.com. Use code FANGIRL10 to get 10% off your purchase. Get one of everything. Get two of everything. Some that are not signed, some that are signed. Get it all. Get it all.
Very
everything.
Exciting. Yes, we love Amber. And you will too, we promise. All right. And once you have visited our internet besties, you've supported them, you've supported us, I guess you can support the show husband. He's pretty cool.
He's all right, I guess. They're on a break, but they should be recording new episodes like now. They took the month of December off. They followed in the footsteps of some other really great podcasters and took a break. Yes, that would be us. But the merch store is still open, searchersbelieve.com/shop. You can go to their YouTube.com/@searchersbelieve. Find the Paranormal Mind anywhere you listen to podcasts. The last several episodes have featured yours truly. There's one episode that you should go look for that's about a vampire where I forget which podcast I'm on. And I act like I'm talking to Karen and I'm not talking to Karen. And the reactions are not Karen-esque reactions at all. They're not. Searchers and the Paranormal Mind.
And we do have a coupon code for the Searcher shop. Use code FANGIRL10.
And you'll get 10% off merch designed by
Mandy. And it's super cute, y'all.
I'm kind of obsessed. I'm ready for, by the time you're listening, it will be here. But it's not here to me yet. So
yes,
I can't wait. All right. I think that might have been a very special episode of The Incoherent Girl.
Thanks for listening. Bye. We love you.
We'll see you in a few weeks.
Have a great new year, everybody.
Yeah.
And we hope your holidays have been great. And we'll see you in 2024. That's insane. Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.